things. We left off last week. We were discussing a major machlokes and rishonim between the Balei HaTosfos against the Sefer Aruch about what our take is on the principle called the psikreishit the lo nichalei. So we spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks talking about davar shel mishkan and then elaborating upon psikreishit. And last week we were introduced to the idea of a psikreishit the lo nichalei, where I know that the resulting malach is going to happen, but I don't really care about it. It doesn't really interest me too much that it happens. But the only thing that we know pretty clear from the Gemara is that it's not a Nisa D'Oraisa. What we don't know is why it's not a Nisa D'Oraisa. And perhaps even more important is, depending on why it's not a Nisa D'Oraisa, will result in whether it is a Nisa D'Rabbanan or whether it's actually Mutlach Chachila. So according to the view of the Sefer Aruch, the reason why it's not a deraisa is because when it's a psikreisha de lo nichalei, that just is not called a psikreisha. We gave the whole longest last week of Rabbi Chanan. The psikreisha speaks to the psychology. The person is planning on the malacha happening. In a sense, he wants the malacha to happen, even though it's not his primary agenda, but it's still considered to be on his, at least on the back burner. And therefore, psikreisha, if it's nichalei, is a big problem. If it's lo nichalei, then it's ois psikreisha, it's not a psikreisha. If it's not a psikreisha, it falls back to the regular category of davar shel mishkan. And as a davar shel mishkan, the davar shel mishkan is actually mutter, even mechatchila. That was the view of the Sefer Aruch. Where the Balei HaTosfos said, no, a psikreisha still is. Just because it's lo nichalei, that does not detract from doing a psikreisha. The only reason why it's not a Nisa D'Oraisa is because it happens to also be covered by a different Torah called Malach She'atzich L'Gufa, no different than any other Malach She'atzich L'Gufa in Shabbos. And that's the reason why it's not going to be D'Oraisa. Of course, the result of Shita Tosfos is it's still going to be also the D'Rabbanan, because Malach She'atzich L'Gufa is not a freebie. Malach She'atzich L'Gufa is still problematic with D'Rabbanan. Davar shel mishkan is a freebie, but Malach She'atzich L'Gufa is not a freebie. It's not a green light. And therefore, it would still remain as an Nisa D'Rabbanan. That was pretty much what we spoke about last week, again, with the elaborate Lamdas Rabbi Chanan. Then we started to search at the end of the Shia for different rayas from the Gemaras. And we're about to embark upon a major, major raya, depending on who's bringing the raya, which becomes really the pivotal sugya in everything we're talking about. And as we find so many times in learning, it's not even a sugya that appears in Masechta Shabbos. You can learn 157 volumes of Masechta Shabbos and not realize that probably the most important sugya about psikreisha, the lo nichalei, appears in Zvachim of Tzadi Aleph Rebbeis. So let's take a look at those Rebbeim, learn Zvachim with them. Let's take a look and learn through a sugya in Masechta Zvachim, and eventually come to understand how this Gemara is going to become critical in terms of what our take is on psikreisha lo nichalei, which is going to have some very, very serious ramifications on Lachlan Meisim. Let's take a look at Zvachim Daf Tzadi Aleph from the base. It's about 12 lines or so down from the up from the bottom. The first one is Maisila. So at the end of the line, Amashmuel. So again, approximately 12 lines up from the bottom. Amashmuel. Hamasnadiv Yayin, Navy Umazalfai Al Gabi Ha'ishim. If a person brings Yayin, brings wine as an Edava to the base of Mikdash. Now, even that requires some clarification. Who said you're allowed to bring wine as an adava to the Beis HaMikdash? The role in Avodas HaKarbonos, but the role that we associate wine with, it's something that accompanies other karbonos. Let's say, for example, you bring a korban tumid every day, so v'nisko revi yisayin, so you have to bring a korban nisachim of wine that's poured on the mizbech that accompanies that korban. Or a person brings a korban shlam, oil shlamim, other karbonos that are always accompanied, or just that always accompanied with Nesachim. Here you have a different picture altogether. A fellow wants to volunteer to bring just Yayin. He's got a bottle of wine, wants to bring the wine to the Beis HaMikdash. What is the Beis HaMikdash supposed to do with the wine? So the din is, it's Karva Gabi HaMizbeach. Brother learns out from Sukkim that there is such a concept of Yayin L'Nedava. The only thing that's unclear is, what do you do with the Yayin L'Nedava? So there are actually two different choices. Either you pour it literally on the Mizbeach, or you pour it down the sides of the mizbeach, down the tubes of the mizbeach, called the shisin. And why would anybody think that's what you do with the wine? Because that is, in fact, what you do with nesachim. If I bring a korban oil or klaiso brings a korban tamid, and now it is accompanied by yayin, that wine is not poured on the ash itself. it actually goes down the size, down the shoots, down the tubes of the side of the mizbeach. So comes Shmuel with the Gevalt Gechidish, comes Shmuel and says, I'm a Shmuel Mestad of Yayin, maybe a Mezal for Gabi Ha'ishim. But if you're bringing wine as a Korban Nedava, as a voluntary offering, not in the context of a Korban Oyla Shlomim, then you do not pour it down the tubes, rather you pour it directly onto the fire. How in the world does Shmuel know? This is my time. I'm a Gra. Yayin takriv l'nesa chatziyahin isher koch l'shem. It's a pasuk. The Torah says that the yayin is isher koch l'shem. It means it goes literally on the ish, on the fire. So that pasuk is not referring to yayin that's brought as accompanying another korban. This pasuk is referring specifically to a yayin that's brought on its own, and that's the source of Shmuel's din. So he asks the Gemara the following question. Mahakam achabi. Wait a second, how in the world could the Torah formulate such a mitzvah that you have to bring the yayin and pour it onto the mizbeach, pour it onto the flames of the mizbeach? Aren't you inevitably going to extinguish some of the flames on the mizbeach? And that's a problem. There's an issur in the Torah called Eish HaMizbeach Tukadol Lo Sichbeh. Eish Tamid Tukadol HaMizbeach Lo Sichbeh. It says it twice in the Torah, in Parshas Tzav, that you're not allowed to be mechabeh the Eish HaGavi HaMizbeach. So how in the world can Shmuel tell me that you take the wine and pour it on the fire? Isn't that a violation of kibui eish hamizbech? Answer the Gemara, nah. Kibui b'mitzvah lo shmei kibui. That the Gemara says, no, maybe that wouldn't be a violation of kibui because you're not extinguishing the entire mizbech. Maybe the only time you're a violation of kibui eish hamizbech if you come with a fire extinguisher, put out the whole marocha. That's the issue. You just put out a couple of coals here and there. Maybe that's not an issue. The says, no, it's not true. Imi v'amr of Nachan and Rabbi Avua, Amiri gechelas v'agabe yizbech v'ki b'chayev. So the Gemara says that even if you take one coal off, you're over the issue. The Gemara says, no, the lake Elahai. The Gemara says, no, maybe that's talking about that was the only coal left. So that was ki b'kola marocha. But if you have a whole marocha and you just put out a little bit of so maybe that's okay. So the Gemara's not sure. Hemming and hoy, back and forth, we're not quite sure. So finally, the Gemara tells us that, in fact, there is a machlekes atanoim about this very point. And if you take a look at four lines up from the bottom, the Gemara quotes Toshma, Yayin Kedivri Rabbi Akiva L'Safolim. That the Braisa says that, unlike what Shmuel says, that you take the wine and pour it on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Akiva says you pour it down the tubes, the Seifel, down the tubes of the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, not so simple. That some Tanaim seem to say otherwise, and finally, Gemara figure out what do you do? So finally, the Gemara concludes, what's the answer? Is Shmuel right or is he not right? The Gemara finally gives the answer as follows. Lo kasha, two lines to the bottom. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon. It all depends upon the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Who Rabbi Yehuda, who Rabbi Shimon, what's going on? So the Shem explained, it's our old Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon from last week, from 2 weeks ago. We know there's a machlekes between Rabbi Shimon about Dov Hashem Miskavin. Now, Dov Hashem Miskavin is a machlekes that permeates not just the Shabbos, it permeates Kol HaTorah Kula as well. So comes, the Gemara tells us, that if you want to justify pouring wine onto the Eish HaMizbeach, there's a chance that the fire is going to go out. How could you justify that? How could you defend such a practice? The only way to explain such a possibility of pouring wine on the Eish HaMizbeach, that must be a Rabbi Shimon position. That must be taking the view that Dov Hashem Miskavin is in fact mutter. But the only Rabbi Yehuda, Dov Hashem Miskavin is aser, we would never entertain such a possibility. So basically, when all the dust settles, the Gemara says, the entire discussion of Shmuel, should we pour the wine on the Mizbeach, or should we pour it down the tubes in the side of the Mizbeach, all revolves around the very, very simple question of Shabbos / Kol Torah Kula, what's your take on Dov Hashem Miskavin? If you believe that Rabbi Yehuda is right, Rabbi Shimon's Kavan is also, that it's inconceivable that the Torah would permit you to pour wine on the fire. And therefore, by default, you have to pour the wine down the tubes. If you hold the Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon's Kavan is okay, then you're good to go. Then it's perfectly acceptable to pour the wine on the Mizbech. Ad kan debi Agamar. So Rabbi Yisai, there is an obvious question here. Everyone should be thinking to themselves, wait a second, what did I just tell you? I just told you a story that, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's okay to pour the wine on the Mizbech, and you can hide behind Dov Hashem Miskavin. Rabbi said, we have a big problem. You know what the big problem is? It's called the physics 101. Take a pitcher of wine, and pour it on a fire and tell me that it's not a psik reisha, some of the fire is going to go out. Now again, even if part of the fire goes out, that's nisa deraisa, eishel mizbech lo sichbe. So come to Rishon and say, wait a second, what in the world is going on? How can you tell me such a story that according to Bishimon it's okay? Is it an psik reisha? That's the kasha. Is it an psik reisha? So what conclusion can we draw? How can we possibly deflect that question? So if you take a look in the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos, we have the Gemara Ksuvos with them. There's a Gemara in Ksuvos on the Vav Amud Aleph. It's a long, long Tosis, the big Tosis, Hai Mesech Raisa. So the Vav Amud Aleph, if you take a look, it's where the lines get wide. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the fourth wide line. The lines get wide in Taisus. So it's the very end of the line. Mechain Pirish Be'aruch. Taisus quotes the Aruch here. Mechain Pirish Be'aruch. The whole psikration lo nichale shari. Whenever you have a psikration lo nichale, that was the Aruch Shita from last week. That's okay. It's perfectly permissible. The ikarayosa, the primary raya for the Sefer Aruch, was not Agamar and Sukkalam and Gimel. And was not Ban Shabbos called Gimel. All those Gemaras that talk about psikration, that wasn't the ikaraya. Buzzes the eek arrived to say for Oruch, the parakalat todir, alimidir bishimin, mizalfin yana gabia ishim, af agav the psikreshehu, devade mechavehu. Everybody knows, science 101 tells me you're going to put out part of the fire, and it's still okay. The bishimin says it's still all right. The answer is, kevd lo nichale by kibu shari. Das the psikreshe de lo nichale. That is the source, that is the reason. And that was the ikareos, the primary raya of the Sefer Aruch from the Gemara in Maseches Vachem. Of course, the other Rishonim have a lot of work to do. Other Rishonim, the Balei HaTosfos, many Rishonim, perhaps most of the Rishonim, who hold that a psik reisha, the lo nichale, is not so simple, lo pashut, that it's mutter, it's still prohibited with the Rabbanon. How will they deflect this Gemara in Maseches Vachem? Doesn't the Gemara say it pemole? That of segregation of the Nichle is great. Segregation of the Nichle is hunky dory. Everything great. Pour the wine in his bath. According to the view of the Balei HaTosfos, what's going on? So Tosfos and Ksuvos was sensitive to this question because these are the Balei HaTosfos speaking. And Shitas HaTosfos did not accept the Sefer Aruch. So they have to address this Gemara in Maseches Vachem. Let's take a look how Tosfos addresses that Gemara. Let's take a look. The Rayas Orochen and Rayas, we're going to pick it up from in the wide lines. It's now about the 12 or so lines down into the wide lines. The first one line is the Lo Michale. It's about 12 lines or so down below Michale, so it's the middle of the line. The Rayas Orochen and Rayas. We streamline the Orochen. We're going to quote one of the Rayas. It tells you another five Rayas, but we're going to focus on our Raya. The Ahid Amate Rebbe Shimon Lazalif Yayin Agabi Ishim, that which Rabbi Shimon permits to pour the wine on the fire. Ikalamemas of Taisis, the mitzvah shiny. Nah, come on, that's different. Because that's the Tzorech mitzvah. And the Tzorech mitzvah, even we, Balei HaTosfos, who hold that segregation lo nichale is normally asur, we're going to forgo that isur. We're going to be a mevat in that isur. That isur doesn't apply to mokom mitzvah. Adkan, the Devi HaTosfos, to be doich in the raya of this. What in the world does that dechiyah mean? What is the pshan that dechiyah? That really Taisus says, we really must believe that psikreshul nichle is a rosar, but, makom mitzvah, we're going to look the other way. So there's no question, when you see a lashon like that, what Rishonim are clearly saying, what Taisus is clearly saying, is that the question in hand is only a derabbanan dikur problem in the first place. We generally are not, don't take that very easy attitude, very lackadaisical attitude. Well, it's also a Torah, but it's a mitzvah, so it's okay. That's not the way halacha works. When you're dealing with Yisur the Rabbanon, then very often Chazal lifted certain Yisur the Rabbanon, they're mako mitzvah. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Not absolute, but very often Chazal lifted certain Yisur the Rabbanon, mako mitzvah. We know this in the Shabbos or the areas of halacha. So that seems to be the pizma that Tosfos is saying here anyway. That after all, this whole thing is only mid the Rabbanon. Even we agree, as the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Gimel, segregation of Nichalei is not a deraisa, that everybody agrees to. The Taisa says, even though we don't go as far as the Aruch to give a green light to segregation of Nichalei, we still give it a yellow light. It's not a red light. It's still only an issa d'rabbanan. So perhaps that issa d'rabbanan was lifted from makom the mitzvah, the grandiose mitzvah of pouring wine under his bech and the base of mikdash. That's going to be doicha, whatever potential issa d'rabbanan was involved in a psik reish lo nichale. So we think we can breathe a sigh of relief that Tosis was doicha d'raya. Rabbi say, don't breathe a sigh of relief too quickly, because the dechi of Tosis is mamish pliton. It is such a difficult Tosis. It's such in global in this Tosis. I'll tell you why. Within the world of the Balei HaTosis, the psik reish lo nichale is not a deraisa, but it's a derabbanan. What made it not a deraisa? So remember we said that according to the Aruch, what made it not a deraisa was whenever it's lacking in nichale, so then it falls back or reverts back to Tavshay Miskari. But Tosis didn't say that. Tosis said when it's lacking nichale, it remains a Tavshay Miskari, until it remains a psik reish. The only thing that transforms it to being a derabbanan, the only mitigating factor is we can hide behind which principle by saying malacha sheyetzricha legufa. That was the Tosis last week. We saw that Tosis in Shabbos Kuf Gimel Aleph, the one line Tosis in the bottom of Kuf Gimel Aleph. According to Tosis, psik reish lo nichale, yes, derabbanan. Why? Because of malacha sheyetzricha legufa. For Rabbi say that p'tur of malacha sheyetzricha legufa is only a p'tur nuchah Shabbos, not a p'tur kol Torah kula. When you're learning the sugya of Dov Shem Iskavein, Dov Shem Iskavein permeates Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula, those explicit Gemaras. But Malach HaShem Lugufa has nothing to do with outside of the Shabbos. Zero. It's a special court, the right for Mishka, Malach HaShem, whatever you think the mark of Malach HaShem Lugufa is, it has zero impact outside of the Shabbos. Therefore, even though, according to Tosfos, a psik reish lo nichale is only mid derabbanan, that means it's only derabbanan in Shabbos, only derabbanan. But in Kol Torah Kula, it's an Issur D'oraisa, because it's still called a Psik Reish. According to the Aruch, who says that a Psik Reish Nichale is not called a Psik Reish anymore, it reverts back to Dovah Shem Iskavein, then it becomes Mutter, not only in Shabbos, but even in Kol Torah Kula. According to Tosfos, a Psik Reish Nichale is Osur Midrabbanan in Shabbos, but Midrashim Kol Torah Kula. So there's actually a dual machloikis taking place now between the Aruch and Tosfos. The machlokes are dependent one upon another, but they're really two different issues. One is, what's that take on psik reish lo nichale in Shabbos? And what's that take on psik reish lo nichale in Kol Torah Kula? In Shabbos, everyone agrees it's not a deraisa. The machlokes is it at least a derabbanan? In Kol Torah Kula, the machlokes is it deraisa or is it mutlach hachil? According to the Yarchas, mutlach hachil, according to Tosfos, it's a deraisa. So if that's correct, what we're saying, and the chur, we have to be right. That's exactly what we said last week. That was Shabbos Kuf Gimel Aleph. Tosfos said a black on white. That little Tosfos in Shabbos Kuf Gimel said the only poter, according to their understanding of psikreish lo nichale, the only poter in Shabbos min haTorah is lachshei tzricha legufa. How did that impact Kol Torah Kula? So this is not my kasha. It's Rabbi Chanan's kasha. Rabbi Chanan says he doesn't understand the Tosfos. It's Arachim Gov. It's the tame of the Doila. I'm just Tosfos Ksubos. How could it be that Tosfos says that? Well, we'll be doich the Aruch the Raya. No, don't worry about the Aruch Raya. The Aruch Raya, no big deal. Makom Mitzvah is okay. No. Makom Mitzvah is not going to be Mati Shum Deraisa. Maybe Shum Derabon will be Mati, not Shum Deraisa. So the Yemen says that Tosis invokes this idea that the Makom Mitzvah we're going to be okay. They do invoke it in Nuch HaShabbos also, but that's not so bad when they invoke it in Nuch HaShabbos, because that model makes sense in Nuch HaShabbos, because Malach Shem Tzukufa knocks it down to the Derabonim. Makom Mitzvah gives you the green light to be Matzah Legamri. But we're concerned with Tosfos' model in Kol Torah Kula. Where does Tosfos apply it in Hilchos Shabbos? So we continue in the Tosfos. Let's go back to the Tosfos in a second. Let's go back to Varayas Orachin and Rayas, right where we started. The Ha'id the Matim Shim Lozalat Yain Agave Ishim, Ekel Mehmed the Mitzvah Shining. The Chain Ha'id the Isle Shalna Charite, Ekel Mehmed the Shamisha Mitzvah. Remember the Gemara in Sukkah Lama Gimel. Why are we learning the Sugya? Because we're learning Sukkah Lama Gimel. But the Gemara said that if you pluck off the berries off the Hadas, because you want to eat the berries, so that's a problem. But if you observe that, that's okay. If that's really what you want to do, you want to eat the berries. In fact, what do you mean? It's a psik reisha fixing the Hadas. And says the Gemara, no, Isle Hashanah Chvit, you have another Hadas. So the Aruch said, I have another Hadas. That's mutter because it's a psik reisha lo nichale. But according to Tosfos, psik reisha lo nichale is not mutter. So what does the Gemara mean? The Taisa says, "Man, Mishkafelach, since the creation of Nichol is only Drabbanan anyway, the Makom Mitzvah they lifted the Yisur. So that I can be Makam. That half of Taisa says Mishkafelach. I'm not going to lose sleep over that half of Taisa. because that's Hilchos Shabbos speaking. But Hilchos Shabbos, I got it. Hilchos Shabbos, Psik Reish Lo Nichalei, is at worst a Derabon. It's covered by Lachshah Seh Lugufa. As a Derabon, we can look the other way in Makom Mitzvah. So that's not so bad. But Hadda Tos have the right to apply that principle to the Bidoich and the Gemara and Zvachim, Bidoich and the Arach Shraif and Gemara and Zvachim, that's a big deal. That's what Mechon is Kashkin. So it's really Tachat Tzorchim. So back to square one. We have this Gemara and Zvachim that says that according to Bishimin, you just pour the wine on the fire and call it a day. So the Arach says, yeah, it's Mutakos Psikresh for Nichalei, and we're not quite sure what the answer to that riot is. So we go back to Zvachim for a moment. So back to the Gemara and Zvachim Tzay Alpha Amaze. It behooves us to look at Rashi, because Rashi begins to answer this question. What gives us a right to be matir outright? According to Tosfos, how could that be? So let's take a look at Rashi. So Ha Rabbi Shimon, it's three lines on the bottom of the Alpha Mez. Ha Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel, who said that you pour the wine on the fire, holds it, Rabbi Shimon. The Kaven de Miskavin Lechabas, Ein Lo Sichbe Raya Lov Lesser. Therefore, you don't have to be worried with Lo Sichbe. Therefore, there's no reason Lemekar Mashma Usa, the Isha, Mishim Kushim Lo Sichbe. The Poshim Shah in the Chumash is to pour it on the fire. It says the Chumash, Isha Echavach Hashem. So that's the Pasha of the Rambam. The starting point is pour it on the fire. The only reason why we're draining a cup and pouring it down these tubes is because we're worried about Lo Sichbe. So according to Bishim, there's nothing to worry about. It's a Doshim Miskavim. So now Rashi has the Kasha. V'yam Taima, Frank Rashi. V'yam Taima, Psik Reish of Lo Yamasu. Isn't it a Psik Reisha? Listen to Rashi's answer very, very carefully. Efshar the Mezalifle, B'tipin Dakos Me'od. What did Rashi just say? Rashi just said that it is possible to pour the wine on the fire without extinguishing the fire whatsoever. How is that? Instead of taking a barrel and pouring it on the fire, take a medicine drop or a little drop in the bucket, a little drop at a time, and somehow it's not going to put out the fire. So Rashi says you can do it, and it won't be derech psikreisha. It may extinguish the fire. It's possible it's going to extinguish the fire. That could be, but possible. What's the Davshim Miskavim? Davshim Miskavim, everyone agrees with Mota. So Tosfos Rashi basically said, unlike the Aruch who said, of course when you pour wine in Mizrach, it's a psik resha, that you're going to extinguish the flame. And even Tosfos and Ksuba Zavav agreed, for sure it's going to extinguish the flame. Tosfos is trying to finagle why it doesn't pose a problem. Rashi is circumventing the old problem. Rashi says, you're wrong. That who said that pouring wine on Gavim Mizrach is a psik resha? It's Evshalasos, but keep it knock on the belly. You can do it with very, very thin drops. Now, let's continue the Rashi. Hilkach Rashi says, therefore, Inami Mechabe Betip in Gasos, Dovash Emis Kavinu. Even if you end up extinguishing it with big drops, it's still blight the Dovash Emis Kavinu. Now, what did Rashi mean with that? L'chora Rashi could have very, very easily ended before he started to change the size of the drops. Rashi had a good answer. And if I was Rashi, I would have stopped, period. End of story. He answered the Kasha. He gave you a story. You did it with small, with a medicine dropper. It's not a situation. You're good to go. Why did Rashi derail us a cup and tell us the whole story? Now, by the way, there may be big drops here. What's John Rashi? So there are two fundamentally different ways that Gedolei Acharim had to read Rashi, with a tremendous nafka mingla. So one possible way of learning Rashi is not really saying anything new. Rashi is not really adding anything we know already. Rashi is just finishing off the sentence. Namely, you better aim to do it with a medicine dropper. You have to aim for small drops, because if you aim for big drops, that'll be a psigration, that'll be a problem. So your goal has to be small drops. Now, it could be that in the process of trying to make the small drops, you may end up doing a little bit bigger, fatter drop than you expected, which will in turn end up for sure putting out the fire. But that wasn't your goal. It wasn't your plan. You were trying to do the small drops. So you were in Dovah Shem. It wasn't a psikreisha. Psikreisha means, let's say, for example, I want to drag this chair. It is a 100,000-pound chair. No question, by dragging it in the ground, it's going to make a hole. This is not an emeshad. Evidence is suffering. Of course, no question about it, the hole is going to be made. So comes Rashi and says that if you would try to make big drops, that's an issur. You're not allowed to do that. That's a psik reisha. What Rashi is saying is that when you do little drops, that's like a little chair. And again, it could be that the hole will be made. But could be, would be, should, that doesn't matter. Could be, doesn't bother me. Shabbos. That's not a shame. So that's the Silva Pshad and Rashi. When Rashi added on the Chabatib and Gassas, Rashi didn't mean to be Mahtar any more than he was Mahtar up to this point. He's just telling the Matthias Advarim is that even though it's possible that the drops may come out bigger than expected, don't clap al chayt, nothing went wrong. Well, maybe Rashi is saying something radically different. Maybe Rashi is saying is that the possibility of doing it not through the mechanism of psychration exists. It is realistic to pour wine on a fire and not necessarily put out the fire. It is possible through that method of tipin dakos. Once I have identified that there is a way to do A without necessarily doing B, even if I choose to do A in a slightly different manner, I choose the chetchila to take a bucket and to pour it on the fire, and nobody's going to argue with me in the physics lab. No one's going to tell you a buba maitza that the fire is not going to go out. Avada and avada, belishim sofek, that fire is gone, goodbye, if you pour it with a bucket. But since the possibility existed of pouring with a medicine dropper, pouring with a bucket is no longer labeled up here as a situation. That's a whole new reading of Rashi. So when Rashi says, Hilkach inami mechab v'timidak gases, Rashi did not mean to say, oopsie, I'm so sorry, by mistake, some of the tipin gases came out. No, Rashi is saying that since it's efshur to resolve tipin gases, therefore, even to do a derech tipin gases is taka mutter, even though in mitzias it's quote unquote a psik ratio. Statistically, it's a psik ratio. Lachli, it's not a psik ratio. That's called a dov shim skat. That's a whole brand new way of reading Rashi. That would be a game changer if it's psik ratio. That would tell me that before you determine, before you declare something's a psik ratio, it is not enough to study statistics. It's not enough to say that, yes, I know for a fact A is going to lead to B. That's not all that goes into psik ratio. It has to be that A must result in B. If A can be done in a way that B will not follow, so then there is automatically not called a psik ratio, even if I do A in a different manner, that B will follow for certain, it's also not called a psik ratio. What in the world would be the rationale for such a svara? It sounds so strange. L'chora, secretion is determined by the facts of the ground. Isn't it a question of mitzias? Either you're the name, either A is leading to be or not leading to be. Well, I've got a story that, in theory, it's a migo. Migo, I could have not led to it, therefore, mitaych that I could have. What kind of game is that? So l'chora, this is a throwback to last week. This is a throwback to Rabbanan just said this. Remember, Rabbanan told us that in the world of Tosus, which is probably the world of Rashi also, because if Rashi held like the Aruch, then he wouldn't have been involved with the Kasha. He should have just simply said, Tzikreshul Nichle, and call it a day. So in the world of Tosus, no doubt Rashi, what is the essence of Tzikreshul? What is the engine that's driving Tzikreshul? So Rabbi Chanan said, it is not the psychological Pshah, but rather it's the halachic Pshah. It is the fact that A and B are no longer indistinguishable from one another. There's a new entity, a new world out there called the marriage of A and B. And therefore, every time I do A, I am doing B, because A and B have merged together. It is not in the human psyche that creates psik ratio. That was your halacha of the world of declaring two pa'ulas as being one pa'ula, two ma'isa being one ma'isa. That is the essence, the heart and soul of psik ratio. Now I can understand what Rashi is saying. But Mandibam Amurim, that A and B are married to one another, never to be separated, that's when the Ataka, never going to be separated. When A will always result in B. But if I can finagle a way, I can figure out a kunz, how to accomplish A without necessarily being a Shubha to B, that goofa shows that A and B are not one Maisa. That they're not one Maisa, so even though the Mitzias, I did it through a way that A will lead to B, that doesn't matter. Because the engine that's driving psik ratio is not what the Mitzias is, not what I'm thinking about. The engine that's driving that merging of A and B is a halachic fusion of A and B. So Rashi is telling you, according to Yizachar, that halachic fusion of A and B only takes place when it's Yav Shabbalah Bachi, If it's Efshe Balabachi, so then Gegis and they and pour the wine with the buckets as well, because since you could have done the medicine dropper. So that's a quite a different way of reading Rashi. Again, would have some serious impacts for us. So when all the dust settles, we have really almost four different pshatim in the Rishonim as to how to what to make of this Gemara in Zvachim. This Gemara is saying something about segregation, we're just not sure what it's saying. So we had the Aruch who brought this as a right, Ikarai is Aruch, that segregation Michalei is Motor from this Gemara. We have Taizim Ksubis as Nichoi, that this is difficult as a Macham Mitzvah, which Rav Chanan told us we don't really understand. Then we have Rashi, version number one of Rashi is saying, no, you can do it Shalom with that segregation, just be careful. Then we have version number two of Rashi, since you theoretically can do it in a way that's careful, therefore you can be careless as well. That's also okay. That's also not called segregation. So four different possibilities. Aruch Tais has two versions of Rashi. There's another possibility that maybe there's another reason why segregation doesn't enter into the sugya in Zvachim Tzadi Aleph Amadeis. So this idea is already suggested by some of the Sekenim and the Rambam. It's not 100% clear, the Rambam Shita, but it could be that this may be how the Rambam read this Gemara. This suggests, I'm not saying by the Mari Korpus, one of the Mefarshim and the Rambam, that the Gemara tells us in a few places, the whole institution of segregation was really something that was this chadesh in the days of Abai for Rava. The old machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Dovash and Miskavim, that was known from day one. Everybody knew it was Mishnayos and Brises and Sugyas and Nazir and Shabbos and Beta. Throughout Shas, machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Dovash and Miskavim, Dovash and Miskavim, and Mutter also finished. The Gemara tells us that Abai for Rava, Damit Shavayu, Mother of Shim Sikration. Abai and Rava, upon analyzing Rabbi Shimon Shita, came to the realization that Mother of Shim Sikration. The Gemara even tells us in a few places in Shabbos that Abaye in his earlier years didn't buy into this idea of segregation. The Gemara says the boss of the Sod, the boss of the Shami Rava Sabra, that Rava convinced his colleague Abaye to the truth of this position, and then they both signed off on it together. This became normative halacha. The Gemara says in a few places, Abaye for Rava damaged Abaye, made him shift segregation. The Gemara says the favor is that it wasn't until later in life that Abaye came around to side with Rava. In the early years, Abaye wasn't very situation. So there were some Rishonim and some Mefarshim would say that every once in a while you'll have a Gemara that leaves out Psikresha, and it should have been there. Like our Gemara, how come nobody in Zvachim even raised the red flag of Psikresha? So some suggest that this Gemara, we don't know when this discussion took place. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel's an early Amar era. Shmuel made a statement, and the Amarayim are publicly by Shmuel. We don't know which yeshiva, when, who's having this discussion. So this Stam of the Gemara in Zvachim that's ignoring Segregation may be in a world of Lomdus that didn't know from Segregation yet. And we have a president of the Gemara for this. Abai himself didn't know from Segregation in his early years. We know that. The Gemara says that preferish more than once. So it could be that just because you have a Gemara that almost like seems to gloss over Segregation, that's not indicative of anything, say Semach HaRenim. It just could be that these Amorim, the Kupulim in this sugi, were not holding in the sugi. They didn't accept the concept of segregation. Again, it's a machudish took away of learning pshat in this Gemara. In the regular Mishnah, don't say this. The Aruch didn't say this. Taz didn't say it. Rashi didn't say it. But there is such an idea that appears some want to subscribe to such an idea to the Shiva Sarama. Not clear. So back to square one, by saying we're still trying to figure out who's right. Is the Aruch right? Is Taz right? What exactly is the story? So let's take the sugya one step further. A sugya that started in Maseches Sukkah, branched out to Shabbos last week, and now branching out to Zvachim, and now continues for us in a sugya in Maseches Beitzah. Beitzah and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is having a whole discussion on Ravav and Aleph about the following Brisa. Let's pick it up in the Brisa. The Brisa is found on Ravav and Aleph. First word line is Al Gabi Avonim, about 15 lines up from the bottom. It's the end of the line, Toshma. Person machtzelas agabe kaveris devarim b'shabbos. One is allowed to spread a like a mat or something on top of a beehive on Shabbos. So you have a beehive, you have bees inside the beehive, and you're going to throw a mat on top of it. Why are you doing this on Shabbos? Because it's very hot. You want to protect the bees from the sun. You want to cool things down for the bees. Or it's raining. You want to protect the bees and the honey from the rain. The only thing is, the Braisa says, you have to be careful not to have in mind to trap the bees. Because if you have in mind to trap the bees, that's a huge problem. That's a melachat seif. That's a melachat deraisa. Possibly. So be careful. Don't do it with chavonas tzeda. But for other reasons, it would be okay. The Gemara says, wait a second. The Gemara says that who is the author of this braisa, who is permitting you to do an action, even though it is in a sense resulting in a malacha, as long as you're not miskaven to it. So if you skip down four lines on the bottom, Asan Rabbi Shimon, Yama Davashem miskaven mutter. This sounds like Rabbi Shimon speaking. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this would be out of the question. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Davashem miskaven is asur. So what does it help if I'm really doing tzeda? What does it help not to mechaven for tzeda? It must be this is Rabbi Shimon. Yes, we're not so fast. The tizra of Rabbi Shimon, is that really true that this is Rabbi Shimon? Wait a second. The Gemara says, this can't be mutter. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, this can't be mutter. It's obsecration. You can't hide behind Rabbi Shimon's calving. When you throw the mat, you throw the blanket, the sheet on top of this honeycomb, the beehive, whatever it is, and now you're blocking the bees, you're trapping the bees from leaving, you can't say, well, Rabbi Shimon's calving, everything's good to go. No. You know for a fact those bees are going to get trapped. That's not a davar shemiskaven, that's a sikresha. And don't we all know, as we just said before, the vibe of Rav Damit Shiram, but it was sikresha like almost. But it might be a different shot. Oh, God, you try to explain what's beyond this braisa. But the one thing that's clearly not shot in the braisa, don't just hide behind Rav Shimon. Don't tell me a book might say that according to Rav Shimon, everything's hunky-dory because it's a davar shemiskaven. Not true. It is a sikresha. I can't agree anymore. Now, that in and of itself, the fact that Rabbi Shimon is made about Sikresha, I don't need to go on Beit Slam Advav. If you take a look in the side and the column, you can look at Shabbos, Ayinei Kuv Gimel Kuv Yav. The Gemara has that phrase 7 times in Masechet Shabbos, once in Sukkah, once in Ksuvah, once in Mechayus. So I don't really need this Gemara Beit to tell me that Rabbi Shimon is Sikresha. But what I do need the Gemara for is as follows. Just how serious an Aveira is this Tzeda in the first place? You're trapping bees on Shabbos. Sounds terrible, right? Not so terrible. So Yadua, we spoke about this in the study of a couple of weeks ago, Yadua, that the Malach of Tzeda, any and every time you trap a creature is not necessarily Nisadir Aisa. In order to be asked by the Torah, it has to be what's called davar sheyesh b'mino nitzay. It has to be something that's normally trapped, something that's within the realm of normal possibility of trapping it. Things that are not generally trapped by people. Let's say people generally don't trap mosquitoes, kill mosquitoes. People don't try to trap flies. I mean, people put up fly paper, not try to trap the flies, to use the flies. Those are called bugs. They're generally called ein b'mino nitzay. Tzatzvi, a person traps a deer, that's what we don't need. So you trap other animals for food or for their furs, whatever reason you're trapping animals for. So if it's a normal thing to trap, that's called yesh we don't need. So yesh we don't need. So is not going to be an issue deraisa. According to most Rishon, the reason why it won't be deraisa is because it's shleike derech. That's called shleike derech malacha. That's not the normal fashion, normal tzur of doing malacha. So I just have a very, very simple question. I just want to know, are these bees a yesh we don't need so? Or any b'mino nitzad. Now, some things are very obvious, one way or the other. Mosquitoes are clearly any b'mino nitzad. Deer is very much yesh b'mino nitzad. Bees? Bees are within the realm of normal, kind of. There are some people who trap bees. In the other hand, most people, I would think, who quote-unquote trap bees, would much rather just kill the bees, get rid of the bee. No one's really trapping the bees because you want to use it, unless you happen to be a beekeeper. So it's kind of hard to tell what the Matzias HaDvarim is. Should trapping bees be an Issa Derais and Issa Derabon? If trapping bees are an Issa Deraisa, so when the Gemara says, Madrib Shum Sigresha, so that's not a great surprise. It's the same as any other Issa. But if trapping bees is only Midirabonon, and the Gemara still says, Madrib Shum Sigresha, that seems to point in the direction that it doesn't really make a difference whether they're doing the rice or the rabbanon. Meidiv shum psik reisha. So I'm asking you a question now. Everything we've been learning till now, meidiv shum psik reisha. Meidiv shum psik reisha. Is that limited to Yisurim deraisa? Or does that even apply to the rabbanon? And this is going to be the pifrul gemara. Because this is the gemara, this is the one gemara that's not clear. Are we dealing with the deraisa or deraisa? Trapping bees can go either way. If trapping bees are also in a Torah, then the gemara is not saying anything new. If trapping bees is also in the rabbanon, the gemara is saying something very, very new, something very, very significant. So what's the din? What's the halachon? So if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, those who have the Mishnah Berurah, I threw in the last minute to bring a Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Gimel, those who have. Take a look at the very beginning of Siman Shin Tezayin. It's not literally the beginning, I'm sorry. It's Siv Gimel, I'm sorry. It's Siv Gimel in the Ramah. Shin Tezayin Siv Gimel. The Ramah writes the following. V'lochein yesh li zoher. A person should be careful. Shalom lizkor tevak tana. A person should enclose a small box, a list on kalim, or to close other kalim, throw a covering on a kli. Shezvuvim by the Shabbos. If there are flies in the box, so you shouldn't just throw a cover on top of the box. Why? Now psigresha sheyetsu d'sham, because it's a psigresha that the flies are going to get caught there. They're going to become trapped. Now, between you and me, it's a psigration, lo nichale. I'm not overly excited about trapping these flies. But afa b'chein, there are more quotes, yesham, this is from the Sefer HaTruma, one of the Baal HaTosim, and a Baruch Baal HaTruma. You're not allowed to close the box because of the principle of psigration. Where in the world did Rabbeinu Baruch get this from? So he said he got it right out of the Gemara. The Gemara says, black on white, that according to Rishimon, you're not allowed to trap the flies, even though that's not your eco kavana. Your eco kavana is to protect the honey. But if you know that the flies are going to get trapped, I'm sorry, if you know the bees are going to get trapped, made of segregation. So Rabbeinu Baruch just simply took the Gemara that was talking about trapping bees and plugged it into trapping flies. It's my nafkimin. What's the difference? The difference between a fly and a bee? It's all the same thing. That's what Rabbeinu Baruch said. However, there are some Rishonim who do not accept Rabbeinu Baruch. And there are different reasons why different Rishonim don't accept Rabbeinu Baruch. And one of the reasons why some Rishonim don't accept Rabbeinu Baruch is because what right do we have to extrapolate from bees to flies? Maybe bees are awesome in HaTorah. Flies are only awesome in the Rabbanon. Maybe psigreishas are awesome by their Isis. Maybe they're not awesome by the Rabbanon. So now, all of a sudden, that Gemara that was Alav Lamed Vav and Beitza that spoke about the prohibition of covering over the beehive because of psik reisha, we weren't sure theoretically. We had an academic question: is that a deraisa, a derabanan? Now it's going to play out the maisa. If you hold that the bees are deraisa, then there's no precedent to asa by derabanans. If you hold that the bees are mid derabanan, then we do have a precedent to asa by derabanan. So the Ramah is machmir in this one. The Ramah tells us that a psikresha is a problem. And let's not forget what kind of psikresha we're talking about. Psikresha l'nichalei. You don't want the bees, you don't want the fly or nothing. You don't want these flies here. It's a psikresha l'nichalei, and it's still a problem on a Ramah. But the Ramah threw in for good luck. When the Ramah wrote that you're not allowed to do that, yesh, let's go back to the Ramah for a second. L'chein yesh l'zoyer. Shalo lizgo tevek tana. The Ramah writes, if it's a small box, then you have a problem. Why is that? So, if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Tezvav, the reason why it's okay is, about Teva Gedoil, if it's a big box, then it's okay. Why? Since it's so big, the box, even if you would be inside the box and you try to grab it in one shot, you couldn't. That's the Shia, the Gemara says. It's not Seder Deraisa. But what did the Ramah just say? What did the Mishnah just say? That if you have a big box, and it's flies in the big box, so then you have two Derabonans on your side. It's Derabonan, it's removed from Deraisa, twice removed from Deraisa. Number one, it's too big an area. It's not trapped sufficiently to be a Deraisa, they could say that. And number two, not only mitam ha-maiset seid is a derabanan, but the chavtza of flies is only a derabanan. It's eimim mino nitzai. When you have a combination of two derabanans, that all of a sudden hocus pocus becomes mutter. So if you take a look at the Shar HaTzion in the bottom notes, Ois Yirches, but it's a loyma mishum da betrayed the rabbanon mishum hachi mutter v'yer mechaven. I forgot the psikreisha. Even though it's a psikreisha, but it's a psikreisha for a double the rabbanon. It's the rabbanon because of the mice that say it is not sufficiently deraisa. It's the rabbanon because the chefts of zvuvim is not a deraisa. Then and only then will the Ramah be willing to be made. So Rabbi said, we've come a long way in our discussion of psikreisha lo nichalei. We started off with the Gemara and Sukkah. The Gemara and Sukkah says that, oh, it's okay to eat the fruit, don't worry about it, you have another hadas. So most of the Rishonim learned, you have another hadas, oh, it's a psikreisha lo nichalei. And therefore what? So some Rishonim said, like the Aruch, psikreisha lo nichalei is mutl chadchila. And then the Aruch went on to bring other rayas, that psikreisha lo nichalei is mutl chadchila. And every raya the Aruch brought, including the Gemara and Tzvachim, Tosfos rejected, and Rashi rejected. So we don't have a clear-cut raya. Then we said, even a niyach, the psikreisha lo nichalei is problematic. What if the issur in itself was only a derabbanan? So that depends on what you think about flies and bees. If you think that bees are deraisa, then there's no precedent to ask the psikreisha lo nichalei by derabbanan. If you hold that bees are derabbanan, then you do have a precedent. So the Ramah is not a hachmer in the shayla. Even the Ramah was willing to turn around and be naked when you have a double derabbanan. So a lot of things swirling around in terms of that. So yeah. So basically, just to recap, we really started the sugya with Sefer Sukkah. We started with the Gemara about plucking away the berries in order to eat them. The Gemara connected that to the Machlokes Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon. We spent a lot of time 2 weeks ago talking about what the Nekudas of Machlokes Rebbe and Shimon was all about. Rebbe Shimon is Kavein, the Raisa, the Rabbanan, the Sheves, all the Raya's back and forth. Then we moved on last week to discuss the second half of the Gemara of Psik Reisha. And what exactly Psik Reisha is all about, and then the Gemara's conclusion that Psik Reisha lo nichalei is different, and then that led us to the world of the Aruch HaTosfos, Rabbi Chanan's Lamdus last week, and then we saw how one of the most pivotal Gemaras, that Gemara in Tzvachim, which we have at least four or five different ways out of that Gemara, what's that convincing that the Aruch is correct, and then we put a little bit into Lamaisa that we are Cheshish, we follow Shishat HaTosfos, we do not rely on the Aruch, we pass in Halacha, we try to follow Halacha, Psik Reisha lo nichalei are problematic. And even by the Rabbanans, we're not so quick to turn around just stomping matzahs and grace l'nichalei, maybe under certain circumstances, we're not so quick to do so. So a lot of the klolim from the basic ABC klolim of the Shabbos all emanate from the sugya and sugya daf lamed.
There's something I don't understand. Why do we say that covering a beehive is l'nichalei?
Oh, very good. Excellent.
That's not like catching one fly.
Right.
The colony he wants, it's nicha to him that the colony stays in the hive so they produce more honey.
Right. Unless the bees are safer as being trapped. Right. So he definitely does prefer the bees to be there. Right. So I mean the extrapolation that the Rishonim had is also not 100% accurate. It means the Gemara in Beitza is a little bit worse, or significantly worse, than the Gemara in Beitza. Right. Okay, all right. So, Rabbi said, well, I don't know if we made a seam on the Sugya of Doshim Skavim, but at least for our purposes for tonight. So, we finished at least this dimension of the Sugya. Okay, hopefully, through next week. Well, I have to see next week's schedule. I think I have a chasana next, I think a couple of nights next week of chasanas. I have to just figure out realistically, logistically, whether we can have a Shia. I'll take a look at the schedule and see what we're holding. Okay? Okay, good. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, be well.
Thank
you. Henry, if you could send out the next man who comes for tomorrow morning.
Yeah, 35.
Right, very good. Okay. Thank you.